Welcome to another episode of Conversations for Financial Professionals, where we are shaping the next generation of financial advice. And today we have a very special guest, Miss Andrea Koppel. Andrea, you are founder and CEO of College to Career Academy, which helps college students and grad students alike of all ages fast-track their job search and build actionable game plans to find the careers they love. You are also a fellow podcaster and the host of Time for Coffee and founder of Time for Coffee, a company with the mission to empower over 1 million students to turn their degrees into careers they love. So it's time for coffee and it's time for conversation. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, Dom. It is super exciting to be here with you.
No, I am so glad you were so gracious to come on. And I think we're going to have a real fun time discussing from college to career advice for this pandemic and beyond. We're in the post-pandemic age, I guess, now. So how has life been for you in this post-pandemic age?
The post-pandemic? Well, I just got my second shot last week. So I guess I have another week to go before it's really going to be post-pandemic. But I feel great. I feel very optimistic about what lies ahead for all of us. I think we're, obviously, I'm not trying to be Pollyannish here. I think we're going to have some challenges, and certainly getting young people jobs is one of them. But having said that, I think with the right tools and tactics, we'll get there.
I think that's a real good attitude to have. Matter of fact, I mean, I think that's the attitude that the job seeker needs to have in this day and age, because there are a lot of opportunities. Whereas the there's either a Chinese proverb or something that says, you know, there's chaos in opportunity, or that chaos is the same symbol for opportunity. So I think that attitude is the type that we want the audience to have, definitely, when we're talking about this conversation and others. So let's talk about, I want to do something a little different than what I normally do. And I want to dive right into, where did this personal mission of yours to empower 1 million students come from? Because that is one of those bigger than myself missions that you need a lot of people to help you with. And I just wonder, what was your inspiration behind that?
I love that question. And I want our readers to grab their cup of coffee and just sit back, because my answer, is going to take us back a few years. I'm just going to try to sum up what I have done over the last 35 years of my professional life. I am currently in, depending upon how you count, my fourth or fifth industry. I started my career as a journalist, and I spent 20 years doing that. Then I pivoted into public relations. I did that for a couple of years. And then I moved into the nonprofit world. And it was while I was working for a global humanitarian and development organization called Mercy Corps that works in over 40 countries around the world, mostly conflict-affected, fragile countries, dealing with all kinds of issues, that they taught me that if you are going to solve some of these big issues, you have to get to the root cause. What is driving poverty? What is driving conflict? Because the solution is not about helping 50 people or 500 people. It's about helping 500,000 people or 5 million people. So 4 years ago, I quit that last job to be a full-time stay-at-home mom, because I only have one child. He was 13 at the time. And I wanted to deepen my relationship with him, Dom. And for the first time in my professional life, I had what some people call radical headspace. I was able to dream. I wasn't getting my, you know, the white matter or the gray matter in my brain wasn't getting distracted by work-related things. And I had a period of about a week when a ton of people from various points in my life reached out to me for career advice. Now, that was not unusual. I've always had people asking me for career advice, much as I'm sure they do that with you. But what made this unusual is that it happened in a concentrated period of time. And I was thinking, this is so inefficient. There's obviously a problem. These young people need career advice. They want to talk to me, but there's only one of me, and I have to reinvent the wheel every time I'm talking to someone. Where is the platform where they can go to get career advice, not just from Andrea Koppel, but from Dominique Henderson and from all of these other amazing professionals on demand? And I looked for it and I couldn't find it. And I said, at the same time, Dom, I was spending a lot of time walking my dog, cleaning the house, binging on podcasts for the first time ever. And I thought, well, gosh, if I'm going to scale this solution, why don't I just create a podcast? I've been a journalist. I know how to interview people.
Yeah.
And so I started interviewing professionals in dozens of different industries about what they do in their jobs and how they built their careers as a way of helping these college students, grad students, and young professionals to hear directly from people doing these jobs what they're really like, to help them then envision how they can take their degrees and turn them into careers they love.
No, I think so. That, man, there's so many rabbit trails and nuggets in that, because you talk about the headspace that gets cleared up. And I know primarily we may be talking to an audience of people that are going to go the traditional route and go to four-year school or grad school or whatnot. But I remember when I left corporate and started my own, and the amount of mental capacity that I had that was freed up, that would, you know, I wasn't worried about somebody's job and clocking in and their ideas and serving their clients. I finally got that time to just go, and the level of creativity, I think, rose. So that is something to be said about taking some type of sabbatical, right? So there's that idea from whatever you used to do or whatever you're used to doing. And I wonder how often that piece of advice comes into the advice that you give your clients, because just a breakup of the norm, would you agree with that?
I definitely think having time to sit and reflect is really important, and especially in this 24/7 world, right? Where you cannot get away from it because this thing is always in our hand, and you're getting alerts, whether it's on your phone or your laptop, or, you know, you're constantly bombarded with information. And that is why I feel my mission is even more important, because I help young people, especially those who are confused, overwhelmed, anxious, and not able to think straight about how to take all of this amazing knowledge that they've learned at university, at grad school, and then translate it, because that's what you're doing, translate it into that first career that will interest you. Because P.S., this generation is going to have 17 jobs about over 4 to 5 different careers.
No, I'm glad you brought that stat up, because that is that's the reality of the life we live in now. You know, I graduated college in 98, and the job market was a lot different than it is now. And I wonder what your thoughts are about those 17 opportunities, if you will, throughout all, you know, your career spots that you're gonna sit through. Because how should one be preparing themselves to find this career of their dreams? Because I think the notion's out there now that that's almost impossible to do in my first or second job. It's going to take me a little while to do that. How would you steer someone, or even you may disagree with that or agree with it or not. I don't know. What would be your advice there?
Well, there's a lot there, so I'm going to unpack that.
Yeah.
And I would say, if you are defining your dream job as being a perfect job, I want to disavow you of that notion. Because
thank you.
Even though Dom and I are in our happy zone, we are living out our purpose and our passion, and you will have multiple passions over the course of your life, most likely. I can tell you, I have days that suck as the head of my small company and building my business. It is not all rainbows and butterflies. So I would say there is no such thing as a perfect job. For a college student, what I would like to tell you is that you can start anywhere. Don't think about this as you have to pick the job that is going to be your career from here on out, because that is not the case. Start anywhere. And in fact, let me tell you that your major, whatever it is not the tiny house. I'm trying to make a little house over my head here for those of you watching on video, and I'm looking at myself and it's a very strange looking house, but it's not the house that you're going to be forced to live in for the rest of your life. In fact, it is the foundation of a professional skyscraper that you're going to be building over the course of your professional life, with each new job and each new career adding a new floor in that skyscraper.
Ooh, wait, so pause on that. Pause on that.
Yeah,
that
okay, you're
go ahead. Yeah, you're dropping some nuggets right here. We gotta unpack this a bit. So I love that framework that you have, because I think that starts to even in my own personal philosophy with my youngest, which is a 19-year-old, I begin to think about that different. It's just the foundation. College, if you will, formal education becomes this foundation that you build upon, and 30, 40 years later, obviously you have this nice erected skyscraper that, you know, sometimes, you know, the elevator didn't go all the way to the second floor. Now we got to take the stairs, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Those things happen. Totally. But I love that framework. Where did that come from?
It was just the course of describing, trying to explain to young people how their careers would unfold. And I remember starting with, it's not going to be a tiny house. And then I was thinking, well, then what is it? You are learning hard and soft skills in school. You are learning hard and soft skills in your extracurricular activities, in your part-time jobs, in your volunteer work, in your full-time gigs. You are picking up so many different skills. And I think colleges, universities do a terrific job about teaching you what you need to learn in your major. They do a terrible job helping you translate that into the real world. So break down the walls of that tiny house and disaggregate what you've been learning. Take a sheet of paper, have three columns. The first column, write down all your technical skills, your hard skills. The second column, write down all of your soft skills. These are the interpersonal skills. The third column, write down what all of your interests are. What extracurriculars, clubs, team sports, volunteer work have you been involved in that you loved, that lit you up, that filled you with energy? Now take the hard and soft skills, and those align with different job functions, whether like Dom, that's in finance, or whether it's more technical in computers or engineering or marketing or communications, or project management, the interests align with different industries. All of those job functions are cross-cutting into those industries. That is how you can start your career journey.
I think a lot of people don't think about that from the process that you just said, because they often, I think they get it backwards. They think hard and soft skills and they start trying to match industry and not necessarily job function. I think the other gap, and I would love for you to chime in on this, give your two cents, is that there's this notion, and I know at least with my kids, there's this notion around hitting the easy button and wanting to skip the process. And it's like, there's no easy button at 19. Trust me. I mean, if it was, I would have found it. There's not an easy button. You're going to have to go through the process. So I wonder if you can kind of speak to that, because I have these career consultations with aspiring financial professionals or even current ones that are like, hey, Dom, I'm looking at what you're doing or other people, and I'm saying, I want to be there and the time is running out. And I'm like, so how old are you? 30. I'm like, 30? I mean, come on now. Give yourself a little bit more time to, you know, mature and hit your stride. And so to that person that may be feeling a little anxiety ridden, Andrea, what would you give them as some words of wisdom around just embracing the process?
All right. So maybe I'm speaking to your 19-year-old right now, Dom. And what I would say is, you are looking at this as if there's a recipe that you go into the cookbook that's in the kitchen, or you go online and to allrecipes.com and you pull up that beautiful recipe for lasagna. And you go into the refrigerator and you're pulling out the ricotta and the cheddar and the, you know, the noodles. Well, maybe your noodles aren't in the refrigerator, but whatever. And you start assembling that beautiful lasagna recipe and you get the oven set to 375 and you put it in, and 45 minutes later you take it out of the oven and there is your beautiful career, your beautiful, you know, ideal career with a crispy crust. That is not the way that you are going to find your passion and purpose. Instead, I want you to think about this as if you are a mad scientist in a laboratory and you've got those test tubes and the Bunsen burner and you're throwing shit in test tubes and maybe you're even blowing stuff up. Maybe your face gets covered with all that soot. And you're like, what the hell is going on? And that is a metaphor for maybe you failed or you got fired the way I did twice in my professional life. Or maybe you're, you know, you put a little bit too much of this or too much of that. The bottom line is, why am I using this metaphor? Because the way that you find your passion and your purpose is by iterating and testing and trying out different jobs, maybe in different industries. You need to do it because each of us is a different formula. We are not a recipe. We have different interests, different likes, different ideas, and different superpowers. And I can talk about that if you want. And the only way that you will discover it, I'm so sorry, Dom's 19-year-old son, is by
daughter. Yeah.
By starting and doing and failing and learning from that and trying something else.
Coaching. Now, that's probably a topic that you either know you needed or you don't. So I'm not here to tell you that you need a coach. However, what I will tell you is that as an existing financial professional, sometimes you might find yourself a little inconsistent or even frustrated when you compare your success to those of your peers. That's because you have more in you, my friend. You got more to pull out. You got some more potential. Enter the Masterclass Coaching Lab. Having consulted some of the top advisors over the past few years, including building my own wealth management firm, I know what it takes to take you and your team to the next level. So as one of my coaching clients, we're going to have a no-fluff, customized plan to absolutely crush your goals. No BS, no fluff. Need to break away and start your own firm? Got you covered. Need to find your ideal client? Got you covered. Maybe you need help finding that ideal client or implementing some ROI-producing systems and workflows. Got you covered. In either case, the Masterclass Coaching Lab is probably for you. Look, if you're serious about getting to the next level and you need some assistance, all you need to do is go to thejumpstartcoachinglab.com/masterclass and get started with your application. Let's get back to that episode. You're hitting the nail on the head here. This is the same advice that I give to career changers that have had a successful career doing XYZ, and now they're like, I want to be a financial advisor. So I go, okay, so these are some of the things that you need to consider. And then they go, well, how do I, you know, what's the formula for this? Or what's the formula for success? And I'm like, there is no formula. There's a, you know, get some dirt under your fingernails, roll up your sleeves, go try it and iterate, like you said, and see what you like. This is one of the reasons that I don't advocate that people necessarily go right into like CFP. Certified financial planners are great. I have one. However, the point is you don't know what you like and dislike about this industry until you get in and start doing it. And so sometimes experience is the best teacher. It sounds like you agree with that, but I just want to kind of put that in context for the young and the old.
I absolutely agree 100%. And I'm going to add something else. Mm-hmm. The reason that I tell college students and young professionals that they need to do and try and why they can start anywhere is because magic happens. Remember I talked about at the beginning about that Chinese friend of my parents who just so happened to be in the U.S. and he had just met this woman, this businesswoman in New York, who just so happened to have a job opening for a young woman who spoke Chinese. I mean, what are the chances?
Yeah.
Well, I took that job. I got it. I took it. I went to China. I was working in business, which didn't interest me. But guess what? All of my friends were journalists. That is what was the aha moment for me. I realized by listening to them that that is what I want to do. Magic is going to happen to you, my friends, over and over and over again. You can't look in a crystal ball to know where it's going to happen and exactly when it's going to happen, but it will happen. You are going to learn when you start that first job, either that you like it or you don't. You're going to meet people who will open your eyes to other jobs, to other types of job functions that might be a better fit for you. Who can predict this? Yeah. You may then pivot in that direction. So just get started in one place. And for those who think they may want to be a financial planner, what Dom is saying to you is just go try whatever. You may discover that you like whatever it is you're doing next better than what you would like if you became a financial planner. We want things to be mapped out for us, right? We want that recipe. But there isn't a recipe. It is a formula that you discover by doing and testing and iterating.
No, I love that. I think the one benefit for doing this podcast, you know, I've got so many different sides of Dominic. This is obviously the creative, more Renaissance man guy doing the podcast. But I'm going to bring into something that I've heard and had these conversations with other people. We had Seth Godin on. We recently had on Dr. Annie and Prima was talking about the messy middle, which is exactly what you're talking about. This messy middle of our lives where all these nice nuggets and truths come out in perspective. And Seth gave the advice to say, hey, if you want to be a financial planner, okay, great. Go take, you know, 3 or 4 circles of your friends and organize some Zoom meetings and start giving them, you know, advice on how to do this and how to do that. And he was like, if you can't put that together, you probably are not going to be that successful. So there's a lot of great wisdom even in these conversations that I'm bringing back in. But I think the underlying tone here is that you've got to get out there and try something. Pandemic or not, you're going to have to say to yourself, okay, I have some interest here. I have some hard, soft skill marriages here that work pretty good. Let me go see what I like to do. Oh, didn't like that. Let me move to something else. And I think those are that's probably the formula that you seem to be kind of leaning towards here. I want to pop into something though that you're doing on, you know, in your business. Let's talk about this college to career and how if somebody's listening and they're like, I'm in my last year of school or just starting in a career, how could they use some of the tools that you've put together on that platform?
So the College to Career Academy is where I coach students one-on-one for the most part. The College to Career Bootcamp, which is running in May, June, and it may run later in the summer as well, is where I help those students who are confused, who are stuck about what they want to do. And in day one, we get career clarity. And I help them identify at least three different industries that they would be excited to explore. And we, of course, nail down the job function that fits them. And then day two is when we dig into the modern job searching tools, tactics, and strategies. And one of the biggest, Dom, I'm sure is not going to come as a surprise to you. It's knowing how to be strategic in the way that you network on LinkedIn. And first of all, LinkedIn has, yes, right, lots of nods, has 740 million people who are on that platform. But it is about so much more than just pressing the connect button. That is the worst thing you can do. Because once you have that career clarity, then you go super focused. And I help students learn how to identify the right people to connect with and then how to have really effective informational interviews. What is an informational interview? That is where you are learning from the person who is in those jobs what they do. That's what I do on Time for Coffee. That's exactly what I do. I am teaching you how to do what I've been doing for the last 3 years over hundreds and hundreds of interviews with these professionals so that you can say, that doesn't sound so interesting. I don't think I want to do that. But it also gives you an opportunity to develop the beginning of a relationship with this person. You're not asking them for a job. You're asking them for their advice. And at the end of that interview, here's some free advice for all of our viewers and listeners. You want to make sure to get at least two names, maybe even email addresses of people they would recommend that you speak with. Why is that so important? Because then you can put in the subject line, Dominique Henderson recommended we talk, and you better believe they are going to respond to that message. So this is how you build out your network and uncover the hidden job market. 80% of all jobs, Dom, sorry, I'll just finish this one point. 80% of all jobs out there today are not on Monster.com. They're not on Indeed. They are not on ZipRecruiter. They are not posted. The way you find them is through networking, and that is what I teach my students.
No, you're preaching. I just had a career changer email me that's in my course, and they were saying, hey, where's this stuff and where's all this other kind of stuff about jobs? And I was like, a lot of this stuff is not in plain sight. It's going to be you building your network I get so much stuff now that I'm like, there's stuff everywhere. But I realize I have a extremely large network after 20 years in the industry. And so I'm in these different circles or groups, and I see people post jobs all the time. And it's just the effort that I've put in over the years that has afforded me this particular perspective. But I hear what you're saying. I think that one of the major skills for a professional nowadays to develop is their ability to network. And since it's not just hand-to-hand combat and face-to-face anymore, it's LinkedIn. You got to figure out LinkedIn. You got to figure out these other social platforms so that you can still relay the same type of personality and human nature that you do have on social. So I love that you said that. I think that's great advice.
100%. And I just posted on LinkedIn this week. In fact, I post 7 days a week. And this post was about why I love networking so much. And I really do. I love, love, love networking. And I hope to help you learn to love it too. Because what makes it so special for me is that I feel like I'm making a new friend. Now, they may not become your BFF, but this is a human connection that you're making. That is a real life human being. And you want to make a heart to heart connection right off the bat, just the way Dom did, asking me how the pandemic was affecting me, how I was dealing with this post pandemic world. You know, we are human beings. We are all going through and have all gone through the pandemic together, but we all have ups and downs in our lives. And I think one of the things that makes networking so beautiful is that you are expanding your network of friends and contacts, and you may be able to help them. In fact, I can tell you right now how you can help Dom and how you can help me. You can comment on our posts on LinkedIn. You can like our posts, and guess what? We're gonna notice you. And then when you reach out to connect and you put a little message in that 300 character note, and please do, you can bet we are going to be more predisposed to helping you.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many tricks around that. I mean, we can go into a whole LinkedIn session, but I would be respectful of your time. But you join a conversation, like you just said, by commenting, and then you also get notifications on who else is in that conversation. And if it's my conversation, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some financial advisors or firm owners in there for all those people that are looking for firms to join, and vice versa with your network. So there's just so many different ways to run with that. I think this is definitely really, really great advice, especially since we've been a little bit more confined than we were 18 months ago. So I'm cognizant of that. And some people have limited resources and or other challenges. But I would just admonish you to take Andrea's advice, because a lot of this is exactly what is going to propel you in not just the financial services career, but any career. This is pretty universal advice. So, this is a podcast to help empower tomorrow's financial professional, Andrea, with tools to serve their client at the next level. With that being said, what word or words of wisdom would you like to leave with the audience?
I want to let you know that all of us, and Dom and I have not had this conversation before, so I'm going to say 90% of the guests I've interviewed, including myself, had no clue what we wanted to do with our lives when we graduated. It is natural to feel that way. The opposite of fear is excitement. I think that's the flip side. If you flip the script on being afraid, it is excitement. Feel the excitement of the unknown. Start anywhere and just let the magic happen, because it will. And don't forget about me or Dom when you're rich and famous. Remember who helped you get there.
Love it. I love it. I love it. Definitely don't forget the small people. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Andrea, this has been so great. You have so much wisdom, and we're going to have to connect a little further and maybe have you back, because I know from just this short interaction that you can take us so much further down the rabbit hole than what you did today.
Oh, it would be my pleasure, Dom. This was absolutely fantastic.
Great stuff. Have a great day.
You too.
Hey there. I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. First, you need to write down your most important takeaway, and then you need to give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. Also, remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to join my free community to learn more about how you can become a next generation financial professional, please text me at 214-544-9226. I love to hear from you and point you in the right direction. Bye for now, until our next conversation.